Thankful for the cross this morning, aren't you? The Lord did that for me before I was ever born. And He cared. He looked ahead. He saw the great need that all of us were going to have. He was willing to pay the price that we are unable to pay. Thank the Lord. I'd like to write the title this morning on the board. Written the two words, deadly duo. I'd like to think about that a little bit this morning. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday. It was a beautiful day to continue to remember, to reflect on, to rejoice in, to live out our lives, our own spiritual resurrection. Easter represents a day of victory and triumph when life was looking so dark. Life ever looked dark to you? When it was looking dark and thunder was rolling and the lightning was flashing and the earth was quaking, all of these things literally and also, I'm sure, figuratively in the minds and hearts of many people, when it looked like that death was going to be able to defeat life, life overcame death, and darkness and defeat didn't have the last word. We read a little bit about that last Sunday. Jesus rose triumphant from the grave. He defeated the grave. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And Jesus brought a message of peace to those that loved Him. And further, He gave an invitation to peace for those that were and are without. And yet in the midst of all of these truths, then and even now today, the temptation to give in to a deadly duo threatened, continues to threaten us personally on numerous fronts. And that is the temptation of, Mr. and Mrs. Doubt. Mr. and Mrs. Doubt, they like to come riding in on their dark horses right about the time sometimes we think that we have ready to make some spiritual progress. Maybe we've experienced some victories. In come this deadly duo of Mr. and Mrs. Doubt, inserting all kinds of what-ifs. Well, what if you're not worthy? Guess what? None of us are worthy. So actually, the enemy uses bits of truth to try to sow doubt. But he causes us to think about it in the wrong way. What if you're not worthy? What if Jesus doesn't love you? How do you know that He even knows who you are? One little speck in the midst of so many people in this great world. I mean, that seems a little bit of a fantasy to think that there's a God that created all this and He knows what I'm thinking. I don't know. What if that really isn't true? And if it is true, and he really is that grand. What about my failures? If he knows my heart, he knows all the thoughts I've had, how would he accept me being who I am? Not only that, but what if there's something pretty significant about this whole thing that I don't recognize like I should recognize? And I get to the end of the way and I face the Lord and he says, yeah, but what about this over here? And I go, well, I didn't know about that. Well, you should have known about that. Depart from me. Have you ever had any of these sorts of thoughts? That maybe all of this isn't what we read it to be. You know what the word doubt means? I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna read it to you. Doubt means a feeling of uncertainty, a lack of conviction, fear, unbelief, the absence of faith. Have you ever met him? Have you ever met Mr. Doubt? How about Mrs. Doubt? I was inspired this past week with it like this, because it seems like that doubt can come in different forms, and they worked together. It seems like one of them comes on one side and another one comes on the other side, and if one doesn't get you, then the other one will. They're formidable foes. They're sly. They're deceitful. They're strong. Get this. Doubt has a way of fitting into the smallest places, and then once in, has the ability to fill very large spaces. Doubt. Just about the time you think that you have got a hold of what you need spiritually in your heart, you got the victory. Maybe you were in a church service that was particularly inspiring, or the Lord met you by yourself somewhere and opened up something to you in a special way, and you feel like, oh, I've got it. I've got it. I've got victory over this. I've got the uncertainty closed off. And all of a sudden, here comes doubt slipping in under the little crevice under the door. Makes its way in. And then has this ability to fill up the whole room. Just fill it up. Push everything out. All the stuff that you, the victories, the confidence that you thought you had, doubt has a way of coming in and just pushing it out. Doubt sometimes can come in very loudly and very strong and with a lot of push and force. And then sometimes it can come in with this small, quiet, kind of nagging, this voice back there that's kind of whispering. And they both serve the same purpose: to rob us of victory, rob us of what we've been given. And I'd like to expose that a little bit. Well, we're not the only, if you felt this before, we're not the only ones. I'd like to read a little account of this in the 20th chapter of John. 20th chapter of John in the 19th verse. And this was on the day of the resurrection. So Christ has resurrected, same day. And it said, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. So put yourself in this room. The doors are shut and the disciples are assembled in this room, and they've got the door shut, and they're hunkered down because they just had their Lord crucified in a terrible manner, or saw this happen by people that weren't very nice, and took the life of their Lord, and those folks that took the life, the high priests and some of them, they knew that Jesus wasn't the only one. He had some followers too. And they knew how to cause some trouble, no doubt, the high priest thought. And so we got Jesus, but where are his followers? And they probably had all kinds of questions going through their mind and were fearful. It says they were. It says they were in this room with the doors shut and they were assembled for fear of the Jews. And while they're in there afraid and hunkered down and the doors are shut and both Mr. and Mrs. Doubt are there along with their cousins and their friends, Doubt's cousins and friends, Jesus appears. The Lord appeared in their midst. And what were the first words out of his mouth? Do you remember? Peace. Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Peace be unto you. That's a message that the Lord has given over and over again and continues to bring to us today. If you're here this morning, I don't know what's going on in your lives. I feel like the Lord probably gave me this message for a reason, for somebody. Maybe somebody's. If somebody is here this morning, and you're feeling discouraged, and the way looks a little dark, and you are being plagued by doubts, circumstances, situations, and life, maybe your own spiritual state with the Lord, Jesus comes, and the first words out of his mouth are, peace. Peace be unto who? Peace be unto you. And that is a message that he continues to give. Now listen, though, in the 24th verse. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So this time we just read about, some of his disciples were there, but Thomas wasn't there. And so Thomas, he didn't see Jesus. But now the other disciples, they came into Thomas's presence somewhere along the line, and Thomas came in and the disciples said, "Hey, Thomas," this is my words, but I can just imagine if I'm there and I'm one of them, and that all that they went through, it's like, "Thomas, you're not going to believe this. Thomas, listen to this. We saw the Lord. He's alive. We saw him. We were in here afraid and we had the door shut and all of a sudden there he was. And he said, peace be unto you, Thomas. He's alive. He's not dead." It would be quite an event, wouldn't it be? But what was Thomas's response? My Bible says, but. There's all this victory, all these things to be happy about and to rejoice about. And yes, there were some things that happened that were painful, but Jesus is risen. But he said unto them, Thomas said unto them, "Except I see his hands, the nail, the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe." Why? Why was Thomas not going to believe? I don't know what all was in Thomas's mind or heart, but I have an idea that he's a lot like we are. We call him Doubting Thomas, and it's not a really good... I mean, I would just as soon not live life where my nickname is Doubting Rod. I don't want to be known by that way. Well, you know, old Doubting Rod, did you ever know him? Yeah, actually, we did. We knew him. I don't want to be known as Doubting Rod. He's been known as Doubting Thomas. Not a great thing. Yet, I think a lot of times we're Doubting Thomas. And he said, I'm not going to believe. I'm going to have to see it and feel it. I'm going to have to see it and understand it according to the way that I need to see it and understand it. In the flesh, temporally, versus resting in what has already been told me in the past and what's happened in the past. Hear what you say, but I'm going to have this for myself. Mr. Doubt on one side and Mrs. Doubt on the other, tugging at Thomas, saying, Thomas, don't just buy into this. You don't have to do that, Thomas. You tell them you're not going to believe until you see it for yourself. But here we see again Jesus coming with a message of peace. Scripture says in the 26th verse, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. So Thomas said, I don't believe. I'm going to have to see it myself. Now 8 days pass. And now we have record of Jesus appearing again. Have you ever wondered what happened in those 8 days? Is anybody here be interested in knowing how Jesus spent his time and who he might have appeared to and spoken peace to in that week that passed? I mean, his disciples probably looked for him. I would have. If I were them, I'd probably be looking, where did he go? Can we find him? I'd like to talk to him again. But he was gone for 8 days, it says, or maybe they saw him. It doesn't really say, but it says that after 8 days passed, they were together again, and this time Thomas was with them, and the door was again shut, but then all of a sudden there was Jesus. He was there. I have a thought. Maybe the Lord's inspired me with this thought. Maybe Jesus never left. Maybe Jesus was with them all the time. Maybe that's where he was those 8 days. He was right there with them. Let's think about that a little bit. As we live life, we feel like that Jesus is absent. Maybe we just can't see him with our literal eyes. He's there. He knows. He cares. But he appeared in their midst. He didn't have to come through the door. Maybe he was there. And Thomas saw him. The scripture says, it said, Jesus appeared. But he said, peace be unto you again. That was his first message that he left to them. And then he turns to Thomas and he said, Thomas, here, come here. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Don't be faithless, but be believing. Thomas, don't be faithless, be believing. Look, it's just like I said it was. It's just like I promised. Thomas, I'm here. I told you I was gonna come back after 3 days. I was gonna be crucified. Here, come here. It's me. And I am here just like I said. One more time, Thomas. Look with your eyes. Feel with your hands that you can be assured of what you want to be assured of so that you can have peace, even though you shouldn't have to do this, Thomas, to have peace. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. But I guess now for a little bit of rebuke and exhortation, And I guess I feel like it's not just for Thomas, but it's for me. And it's for everyone here this morning. Jesus had a little something to say in the 29th verse. He said, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me with your eyes, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You see, folks, the day after is going to come for all of us. You ever heard of that little turn of phrase, the day after? It means following the event, following the main event, following whatever it is or was that really struck a chord in your heart, and in this case, in a positive way, the day after is going to come for all of us where maybe we have an emotional low, where we don't see the presence of the Lord, where we don't feel or we're able to put our hands on Him and say, yes, Lord, I feel you. You're here. I've got it. The windows and the doors are closed to doubt from here on out because I can feel you. But then that day after is going to come because we're human still. So what does that mean? Back to square one? No rest, no comfort, no peace, where we just withdraw again into this cocoon where we say, I'm going to have to see Him, I'm going to have to feel Him, I'm going to have to put my hands in His side before I can have peace. And in the meantime, while I'm there, I get real comfortable with these folks right here. Why do we let them into our lives so often? Is it okay to say that I don't care for these people? I don't really like them. Why do we give them so much time in our lives? They come in and we put out the welcome mat for them, open the door. They slide in, and instead of opening the door and shooing them out, we give them a bed to sleep in. In fact, we let them get into bed with us. We lie down at night, we put our head on our pillow, and we start having all these doubts and fears and allow them to fill the space where we live. Folks, it's one thing, and I'd like to reiterate some things that we preached about last Sunday night. It's one thing when we know that we have purposefully turned from Jesus. It's one thing when we've said, I want to live my life, and that's how I'm going to live. It's one thing for us to read the word of the Lord and to say, thus saith the word of the Lord. And we say, I know that's what the word of the Lord says, but I'm going to live my life like this right now. It's my life. I'm not willing to go there yet. It's one thing to be in that place and then to experience the absence of spiritual peace and start feeling doubt about where you are with Jesus. Because, well, you should be uncomfortable. Well, you should feel doubt and an absence of peace when you do that. But folks, that's not the message this morning to who I'm preaching to. The message that I've been inspired to give is addressing a people that are endeavoring to come and to sit at the table that the Lord has spread and yea, turn from that other way of self and say, Lord, I want to sit at your table. I want to eat from what you've prepared. Lord, I want to come in close and I want to be close to you and I love you and I want to follow you and I want to partake of what you want me to partake of. And when that's who we are, and then sometimes these folks slide up and try to take a chair on either side of us at the table and cause us to think that somehow we're supposed to remove ourselves from the table because we're not supposed to be there. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is not looking for reasons to excuse us from His table. He's paid a great price and looking for all the reasons to keep us at the table. And if we're at the table and we're eating of the Lord's blessings and we understand or think about something that is unlike the Lord, the Lord doesn't want us to push away from the table and go somewhere else with doubt. He wants us to stay at the table with that thing where the Lord is and do business with the Lord and get it taken care of. Feeling assurance in our hearts that we're right where we need to be. There's no other place that you should be. If there's something wrong in your life, that's where you want to be, is at the table of the Lord. If you're feeling doubt in your soul, and you start feeling like, well, maybe the Lord doesn't love me. Maybe I don't have anything. Maybe I should just give it up. Maybe I guess I should just go over here because, you know, I can't fit. No, go where the Lord is. That's where you need to be. When you feel hungry, when you feel full, the Lord wants you right at His table. I'm speaking of people that love the Lord, that want to serve Him. Another message for another day for those that want to try to partake of the table and scoot their chair as far back as they can because they, you know, there's a lot of things out here I want to do too and try to somehow have the blessings of the Lord and still live how you want to live and you're kind of in this in-between. That's a different message for a different day. This morning the message is to those that love the Lord. And you want to serve Him. You want to do what's right. Let's not give these people a place in our lives where they come riding in this carriage and open the door and have a place for us to get comfortable with them. I don't want to get comfortable with them. I don't want to accept them into my life. We can often have, I don't know how else to say it, encouraging, feeling places of spiritual highs, emotional highs spiritually, and the Lord comes and He gives us special blessings that way, and He comes and speaks to our heart like He did to Thomas. He's merciful to us that way. But then the day after can come when it's not just like that. And the Lord doesn't want us to give in to doubt. Here, Jesus had been crucified. He rose from the dead. He was getting ready to ascend to the right hand of the throne of the Father. And He was going to be gone from their vision. What then? What now? Jesus gave some clear words of instruction with comfort and assurance. And so I'd like to reread a couple of the verses plus maybe a couple more in conclusion this morning that we read the other week. in Matthew 28, Matthew 28 and 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him." Oh, but what next? "But some doubted." See, here they are again. They're always lingering around. Always showing up when we don't want them to show up. They saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Lord, help us not to be doubters. "And Jesus came and He spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto Me in heaven and unto earth." Doubling up on what He had already told them in John the 16th chapter, in the 33rd verse, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. I have all power in heaven and earth. I've overcome the world. I'll be in you. Trust Me with that." And so now that He has assured us of that, that He's not going to leave us and He's not going to forsake us, He then gives us some direction on what He wants us to do. He wants us to be a light to the world. He wants us to live a life that is attractive for those that are looking on the outside, folks. If we as Christians walk around with the sign that says, "I am the light of God," and yet everything about us is dark and gloomy and dreary and gray, that is not attractive to people that are looking for light. There's a lot of people looking for light out there that are in trouble. And if we say, "Come to Me, I've got the light," but there's nothing light about us, we're dark, we're discouraged, we're down, we doubt. And that's the pattern of our life. It's going to be hard to do the work of the Lord that way. God has something that He wants for us to do. It says in the 19th verse, "Go ye therefore, teach the nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." That's not just for the disciples. That is to us this morning. We all have a great commission that the Lord has called us to. And it's difficult to do the Lord's work if we let them live with us throughout the course of our lives. Let's look up. Let's look out into the fields. Let's be willing to allow the Lord to use us as lights and examples of hope and cheer and ones that can go forward in confidence in Jesus. Let's rest in His promises that He's given to us all throughout the Scriptures. But ever aware that the duo of doubt appears uninvited and comes onto our property when they're not bidden, the Lord again assures us and them at the very end. Again, He starts off by saying, "So many times, peace be unto you." And now He's come and He said, "I have something for you to do." But you can't go through life consumed with doubt if you're going to do My work. You're going to have to trust Me. You're going to have to believe in Me. You're going to have to allow Me to be the leader, the one that understands when you don't. And He finishes it by saying, "Oh, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let's take courage this morning. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's not be faithless, but believing. Amen.